All right. This morning we're going to talk about running. How many of you guys ever run? How many of you guys run for fun? Run for fun? What kind of fun is that, right? The text this morning we're going to look at is from Galatians chapter 5, if you want to turn there with me. Galatians 5, beginning in verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion comes not of him that called you. I want to speak this morning just a few minutes about this phrase from verse 7. You did run well, okay? Paul is telling these people in Galatia, and Galatia, by the way, unlike Philippi or Ephesus, which were cities, Galatia was more of a province. There was more than one church there. The Galatians were, like we would say, Cherokee County. And someone slipped into these churches and began to tell them, no, no, Paul's got it wrong. You still got to be circumcised. You still got to obey the Jewish law. And Judaism is necessary. And he asked this question in verse 7, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you would not obey the truth? And so he's like, you had it all together, you got it. And of course, when you say you got it, we're talking about Paul's primary message, which is justification by faith. Amen. You're either justified by faith or you're trying to keep the law. And it's amazing how easy we can slide into that, thinking, well, I got to do this and I got to do that and I got to do that. But thank God I don't got to do anything but trust what Jesus already did. Amen. And so the question is, you did run well, who did hinder you? So we're going to talk about the race this morning. The race, we call it Christianity. We call it living for Jesus or for God, being born again. It's not a 50-yard dash, is it? We don't just like start off and like, okay, I'm done. I finished. Praise the Lord, I did my duty. It's a marathon. It's a marathon. It's not a 5K marathon. It's not a 10K marathon. This marathon lasts your entire life. Amen. Christians never retire. Amen. You know, well, if I could just make it to age whatever, then I can just sit down and eat chips and watch TV because I will have arrived. No, you keep running the race until you cross the finish line, and that is when Jesus raptures you or you breathe your last breath. Then you finish the race, and until then, we run on, we press on, we keep on keeping on. Amen. My first pastor used to say in that Georgia accent, which I'll try to imitate, keep on keeping on, and when you can't keep on a little longer. Amen. That's what we do. We keep on keeping on. If you don't quit, he won't quit. Amen. The devil wins when you quit running. You keep running the race. You keep pushing for the prize. You keep on keeping on. Now, there will be hindrances, just as there was in Galatia. You ran well. Who hindered you? What hindered you? People hinder us. Places hinder us. Things hinder us. Amen? And then there's the internal as well as the external. Fatigue. Oh, I know I should read my Bible, but I'm just so tired. Right? Doubt hinders us. Lord, I just don't know about this. I don't know what to do, you know, and you begin to second guess. Fear is one of the devil's big tactics, isn't it? You know, well, I'm afraid to step out or I'm afraid to do this. You know, nobody ever entered a marathon that was afraid to run, amen? And that doesn't mean that you are the best runner, but you get in the race because you want to win. Amen. And you don't want people or places or things or your internal doubts and fears and insecurities and physical limitations to stop you. You got to run the race. That's called being a Christian. Amen. When Jesus recruited you and I by his grace and love, you were recruited not only into a family, but into a marathon race, and you got to run the race. Amen. None of us gets to be exempt. None of us are like, well, you know, you guys go ahead and run, and I'll just sit over here on the back pew. I'm saved by grace, you know. There's a lot of people that go to a lot of churches that are just living for Jesus to come. I've went to various different churches, and I won't mention denominations, but there's some where they think, well, when I got saved, that's it. I just sit down and rest until Jesus comes. No, you're in a race to the finish, amen? And so we can't let people, we can't let places, we can't let things distract us from our race. Praise the Lord. So he asked this question, who hindered you or what hindered you? What is it that has caused you maybe to not run like you used to run? There was a time in my life, Pastor, when I was the first one of the church. There was a time in my life when I used to get up, you know, early and pray, or I used to go do this, or I used to do that. And, you know, Jesus talked about, you know, in the book of Revelation, the lukewarm church, and he says, you know, you need to return to your first love. Some of it is a love problem. You're not running the race the way you used to because Jesus is not your first love. And so, who hindered you, or what was it that hindered you where you don't run the race like you used to run it? Amen? And that's your question to answer, not mine. I'm not going to ask you to stand up and say, well, you know, here's my problem. Here's that. You need to answer that in your prayer closet, and you need to get real with God. I need to get real with God, and I need to say, Lord, is there something that has hindered my walk where I'm not running the race like I used to run? And then fix it, amen? And say, Lord, I'm sorry I'm not running like I used to, but I'm going to run this race. I'm going to finish this race. I'm going to cross the finish line sprinting for Jesus. Amen? Can I get an amen this morning? Praise the Lord. That's what it's all about. Now, in the natural race, we have the sun. I don't know too many marathons that happen in the snow, but you could be running in the snow. You know, whatever it is, some of these rain or whatever, you know. I was out on a joy drive last night, and it was dark, and I saw cars up on the highway up ahead on the right with lights blinking, and I kind of started slowing down, but there was a Mustang that went flying by. I don't know why Mustangs think they got to pass me. I think it's the car I drive. They want to show off. Okay, well, anyway. But I saw him, like, swerve up ahead, and I should have slowed down more. I did slow down. And the next thing I know, my car is, I'm plowing through a bale of hay in the middle of the highway. And hay went flying, and my car kind of leached over part of it. And thank God everything was okay. I didn't crash or anything. But I don't know why these guys sitting on the side of the road that lost their hay weren't out there waving people down. Hey, there's a giant bale of hay in the middle of the road. So, you know, life, like a bale of hay in the middle of the road. That wasn't in my notes. That just happened last night. But we don't know what is going to hinder us on our race, do we? We don't know what hazards are ahead. And so we've got to run the race. We've got to be familiar with our environment. We've got to be on the alert for anything the devil would put in our path. So it could be the sun. It could be the snow. It could be a bale of hay. It could be friends. It could be family. It could be enemies. It could be financial. It could be aches and pains and physical limitations. One of my favorite authors is Isaac Asimov. Has anybody ever heard of Isaac Asimov? A famous science fiction writer. He wrote a lot of science books, too. And I remember reading one of his articles in the front of one of those sci-fi magazines where he's talking about how he always made a joke about when he died, they'd find his nose between the G and H on his keyboard. But he said, but that's not the case. He had congestive heart failure, and he said, I just don't even feel like getting out of bed. And, you know, when you read Ecclesiastes, Solomon talks about, you know, those days when the grinders fail and there's snow on the roof, kind of like my snow. And, you know, we may we may think, well, we're always going to have that energy, we're always going to have that stamina. But I tell you, life happens, and we don't always have it. And so Jesus said, seek the Lord while he may be found. This is the time when you have the energy and you have the strength to run the race that God has given you and to keep on keeping on. Amen. We don't know what limitations may come. And so some of these that are the physical or the natural hindrances in a race may also be spiritual hindrances too. You know, you could, if you have financial problems and you're worried about money, it's pretty hard to pray, isn't it? I remember one time right after I got out of the Air Force and things were really tight, and I was worrying about money. I allowed my eyes to get off the Lord, and I was worrying about how am I going to pay these bills. You know, is my electric going to get cut off? That's a real life problem, amen? And I drove right through a red light. Thank God the Lord had angels stopping traffic, I guess. I don't know. But you know what? That woke me up to the sin of worrying about finances. And I had to repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I need to get my eyes back on Jesus. This is what the race we're talking about. The race is keeping your eyes on Jesus. The race is doing what you know to do and not allowing some of these distractions to happen. Amen. So no one enters a race and says, well, you know, I sure hope I finish last. No, you don't do that, right? 1 Corinthians 9:24, know ye not that they which run the race all run, but one receives the prize, so run that you may obtain. You know, there is a prize to be gained. There is a well done to be heard. There is a blessing waiting for the child of God who runs the race to win. Amen. Who says, I'm all in. I'm all in. Everybody has probably heard of Catherine Kuhlman. And God did tremendous miracles in Catherine Kuhlman's ministry. One of my favorite ones, which is less known, is the cameraman for her. She used to have a program televised, you know, and people would come and they'd be healed by the healing ministry she had. Her cameraman tells a story about how he was having some chronic pain that had been going on for weeks, and he's up on a balcony running the camera for the program, and she's talking about the Lord's ability to heal, and she just does one of these things up to where he's at, and he felt this thing just go right through him, and he never had any more aches or pains again in this area. And so, praise the Lord. But, you know, what a lot of people don't know is Catherine Kuhlman, as a teenager, she was in a little church, and they're passing around an offering plate, and she says, Lord, I don't have any money, so today I'm just putting myself in the offering. And she gave herself totally to Jesus. And you know what? If we give ourselves totally to Jesus, there's no limit to what he can do. And so we need to run the race to win. We need to get in the race and say, I know that there isn't any amount of energy I put in this that you won't return 100, 1,000-fold as I dedicate my life afresh to you and run this race. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, let me go on and continue reading from 1 Corinthians 9. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, but as not as one that beats the air, excuse me, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And so this is the Apostle Paul saying this. You might say somebody else saying, you know, but he recognizes the tremendous responsibility of the race that God has given us. And so he says, I don't, not as one that beats the air, but I keep myself in disciplined order as I run this race. Now, in junior high, this is funny. In junior high, I was in the cross country race. You know, the school had a cross country, and we ran this big area all around and so many times. And if you've ever ran any long distance, you know, your side starts hurting. Some guys, they're bending over trying to get air. They can't quite finish. And so then they sent us to the citywide, all-city cross-country race. And I don't remember the school it was at. It had a big campus. And I don't know how many miles it was we ran. And, of course, you're running and your side's hurting and guys are laying over here and people are like losing their breakfast. You don't eat before cross country. You'll run. And I finished 17th place out of several hundred kids in junior high. And so I was pretty proud of 17th. I knew I wasn't going to take first because those were all tall, slinky guys that just ran all the time. You'd see them in West Tulsa where I grew up, and they're always running up the road. Well, I had a little more of a life than that, but you know, I was very proud of the fact that I actually finished the race, amen, and that I finished, you know, in the top 20. Now, you ready for this? I'm going to show you what I looked like back then. This is a scary picture, right? Here we go. All right. That's me right there. Look at the hair on that guy. And look at the feet. That's why I finished 17. Look at the size of those feet. I think I probably would have finished first, but the hair probably wind resistant slowed me down a little bit. So okay, let's get off of that real quick there. God gives grace to the humble, right? So all right. So Paul said in Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press. You press in. You keep on keeping on. You don't stop. And the high calling of God is there is a prize waiting for me and you. You know, we don't see Jesus. We don't see heaven. We don't see the prizes. All of that seems so foreign. But the Apostle Paul, who had the greatest revelation of the cross than any other man, tells us there is a prize. There is a high calling. This is really going to be worth it if you will lay aside all of this other stuff and really put everything you got into this race. There is a reward waiting you that you can't even fathom, amen? And so we've got to press on to the mark of the high prize, the prize of the high calling. And that one of that one statement in that prize is hearing Jesus say, well done, amen? I wanted to hear him. Don't you want to hear him say, well done? Don't you want him to say, hey, you know, well, you went to church. Okay. Well, you know, you put some money in the plate. Not bad, you know. But I want to hear him say, well done. You know, I want to hear him say, yes, that's what I'm talking about. You did it. Good job. You know, sometimes we get discouraged and we want to quit. There's a story of a great pianist named Pederosky. And there's a woman who has this little boy. And the little boy is having to take piano lessons. I took piano lessons. I wasn't any good at it. I got discouraged, and I quit. One of these days, I'm going to pick it back up when I find time. But at any rate, she couldn't get her little boy to practice, and she kept hounding and hounding him. So finally, she thought, well, Pederosky, this great pianist, is coming in concert, so I'm going to take him, and I'm going to let him hear this great master, and maybe that will inspire him. So it was a cultured pearl tuxedo event. All the rich people were there, and she's there, and she's visiting, and the grand piano is up on the stage, and she's visiting with her friends. Unbeknownst to her, her son walks down the aisle, over to the left, up the steps, and gets out there on the grand piano on the stage and starts playing Chopsticks in front of all these people. And people start saying, whose kid is that? What's that kid doing up there? Get that child out of there. And she looks in terror and sees him up there. And before she can rush up to get him, Pederosky from the wing sees what's going on, throws on his tuxedo jacket, and goes out there and begins to put his arms on each side and compose a symphony in conjunction with the Chopsticks, all the while whispering in the young boy's ear, you're doing great. Keep going. Don't stop. You're doing good. I'm proud of you. Don't quit. Keep going. Don't stop. It sounds great. And you know, the devil will want to get you to quit running this race, but Jesus is wrapping his arms around you, and he's saying, you're doing good. You may feel like you're not, but you are. Don't quit. Keep going. Run this race. Amen. We run into win. Praise the Lord. Now, some spiritual snares, we talked about this already, fatigue, physical, emotional, TV, entertainment, worldly friends. And Jesus said, you know, why would you want to go to hell with all your members? If something's causing you sin, cut it off. Better to go to heaven without a hand or a foot or an ear or whatever. You know, so we do need, as disciplined runners, we need to cut off things that would hinder us and cause us to not compete or finish the race. Hebrews 12:1, wherefore, seeing we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, and there it is, that's that reward, right? Jesus knew there was a reward. The joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Praise the Lord. And so, we're talking about, you know, that our text, you know, who did hinder you that you would do this, you know, run in vain. The ones in the cross-country race that didn't finish were the ones that ran in vain. And wouldn't that be sad to start out a race and then not finish? You know, I can remember in these cross-country races, all you can think about is, I got to keep going. You know, I'm hurting. And you run by these guys laying there, and you so want to just join them, you know. You just want to stop because you're hurting. And, you know, we don't always hurt physically, but we hurt emotionally. The devil is the master at condemnation and guilt and all of these things, and it's all to get you to stop running the race. But you can't stop. Amen. Now, going back to Galatians, Galatians 2:2, he says, I went up by revelation and communicated to them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them of reputation, lest by any mean I should have ran in vain. And here he's talking about, when he's saying run in vain, he's talking about, you know, this part of the run, which is our witness. You know, we want to make sure our witness doesn't discourage people. It doesn't send the wrong message. That would be running in vain. And then in Philippians 2:16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And so, again, making sure that we hold on to the word of life. You know, memorizing scripture is not something that kids do in children's church. It's what people who are running the race do. It is the word of life, and you need it to combat the discouragement, the depression, and the desire to quit. Amen. One of my favorite verses that I use when I'm feeling somewhat discouraged, and it's kind of one of those ones that maybe help you if you're fasting or if you're feeling a need that you don't have. You know, the disciples went out, and they said, Jesus, you haven't eaten. Do you want us to go get you a cheeseburger? This is the paraphrased Roger version. And Jesus said, I have meat to eat that you know not of, for my meat comes from doing the will of the Father and finishing his work. And the idea is that when I'm in this race, my sustenance is doing the will of God. Amen. That's what keeps me in the race. That's what keeps me going. Kenneth Hagin, the famous faith preacher, used to say, preach yourself happy. And so this word of life is, you know, this is not something just the preacher does. You need to prepare a sermon and go get in your car and go driving and preach to yourself. If you're wanting to quit the running the race, you need to do whatever it takes to keep yourself. My meat is to do the will of God and to finish this race, to finish what God has called me to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, Galatians, back to our text now. He said, Christ become of no effect unto you, wherefore you are justified by the law. You are fallen from grace. Now, I just want to make sure that we get this, because when you start talking about disciplining yourself, cutting off the thing that caused you to sin, this sermon can sound like it's about doing all the right things or not doing all the wrong things. But that's not really what the text was all about. The text was about people coming into the churches in Galatia and reintroducing the law instead of justification by faith. And so when we come back to our text in Galatians 5:5, it says, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Amen. So to sum this thing all up, we are to discipline ourselves. We are to memorize Scripture. We are to abstain from certain things. We are to put down the flesh. We are to keep running the race. But the principal thing that the devil wants to do is get our eyes off of justification by faith. Because we win the race by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? It all comes back down to the theme of the entire New Testament that Paul quoted more than once from Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by faith. Praise the Lord. Amen? And so that's how I win the race. How do you win the race, Brother Roger? Well, yeah, I don't do this, and yeah, I stopped doing that, and yeah, I started doing this. But all of that's good, but without this, it means nothing. Because I'm saved by grace through faith, and that not of myself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That was the big thing with the church in Galatia. They went back to the works. And so anytime a pastor preaches a sermon about disciplining yourself or whatever, it's real easy to walk out the door feeling the weight of all these things I got to do, and we do, but missing the main point. The main point is I'm saved by grace. I'm living by faith. I'm an overcomer by faith. Jesus did it all, and it's a love affair with Jesus that causes me to want to do these other things. Those are not the things that save me. Those are the things that help me finish the race. Can I get an amen? Praise the Lord. So, this morning as we close, I want to close with a couple of things that Paul closed with. This is Paul's last letter that he wrote. Anytime you read the last will and testament, anytime you read the last words of someone, they always have a great impact. And Paul, writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy, he says, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. See, that's the race. The race, as I said, is keeping the faith. It's not allowing the devil to show you your weaknesses and cause you to quit. It's about keeping the faith. It's not allowed the devil to bring condemnation because you didn't do it right last Tuesday. It's about keeping the faith. It's not allowing the world to push you in a corner because you don't look like they look like, or you're not as spiritual as this guy over here or that girl over there. It's about keeping the faith. And when we keep the faith, we finish the race, and there is a crown of righteousness waiting for us. Amen? And so Paul goes on to say, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me on that day, and not to me only, but unto all them who, what? Love his appearing. Amen? You know, I've had people say to me something about me being spiritual, and I say, no, you don't understand. I have a lot of hang-ups. But I love Jesus. You know, as long as you love, truly are in love with Jesus and you're looking for him because he's your superhero, he's the captain of your salvation, he's the one that loved you when nobody else did, and he's the one that died for you before you ever knew him. And if you love him and love his appearing and hold on to that faith, you're going to finish the race with flying colors. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. So, Jesus is waiting at the finish line. His arms are wide open. He's like Paderewski. Keep going. You're doing great. Don't quit. And so, keep running, saints. Amen. Keep running. Let's stand. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we love you this morning. We praise you this morning. We thank you, Lord. Let's just worship the Lord for a minute. Thank you, Jesus, for paying the price to my entry into this wonderful Christian race called life. Lord, I wouldn't trade it for anything. Lord, there's been some deep, deep, deep valleys I've had to run through. And sometimes, Lord, I've got discouraged. I've slowed down. Sometimes, Lord, there's been some high hills I had to climb, and I didn't think I was going to make it, Lord. Sometimes the sun beat down on me so hard, Lord, I just thought, I don't think I can do this anymore. But Lord, in that great words of that great old hymn, grace has brought me here thus far, and grace will take me home. And so by faith, in you and you alone, Lord, and not in me and my talent or my ability. We are running this race to win. And by that grace of God, we will see you soon. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, so be it. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord.